first reading is Philippians chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 2, and it can be found on page 1180 in the Pew Bibles. It's Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Beginning to read at verse 24, it could be found on page 1010 of the Church Bibles. Mark chapter 7, reading from verse 24. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. To begin. Lord, I pray that you'll take these words to bring us closer to you. And I ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. I've got a question for you individually and as a church. Are we glass half full people or glass half empty? In other words, are we sort of optimistic about the present and the future or pessimistic? I think Paul, in our passage from Philippians, was encouraging the Philippians to be glass half full people. Before looking at the passage, I found an interesting article in the Times on the benefits of positive thinking, and I'd like to share it with you now if you don't mind. And it goes a bit like this. It says, it was published actually on the 21st of July this year, and entitled, Maize Mature Cabinet is Good for Our Health. One piece of good news from Brexit, it said, is that Britons are likely to live longer and healthy lives under Theresa May. Is this political? Why? David Cameron's average age of the holders of the four main offices of state was 46, And under Theresa May, that's now 56. Great. A decade. And it makes a tremendous difference, apparently, that it's a good message of power and potential for older people. It's a message that has a remarkable effect on our bodies, our health and longevity. And it goes on to give some sort of facts about it. We internalize society's beliefs about aging many decades before we get old. Positive and negative thinking has a dramatic effect on how long we live. Now, there was a study carried out in America, in Ohio. All the studies are in America, aren't they? Of people aged 50. And those with positive expectations lived 7.5 years longer than those who had negative sort of thoughts about the future. People in their 40s with negative perception, agreeing with statements like, old people are helpless, were twice as likely to have a heart attack. Now, going on, those who chose words like senile and feeble rather than words like wise and active lost more of their hearing in the next 3 years. Elderly people in the negative group were 50% more likely to go into hospital. Now, what the article suggests in the end was that we should have positive role models. I try to think what they might be. I think of a queen as a positive role model, Duke of Edinburgh. It suggested Judi Dench and Clint Eastwood. So our longevity may depend on our positive thinking for the future. Well, let's look at what Paul said, what Paul thought. It might help, actually, if you turn to the passage, Philippians 2 to 9. It's on page 1180. Paul starts off by being pretty realistic about how things were in the Philippian church. And to start off with, the need to encourage them to heal a disagreement between two of the lady leaders in that church. It's a shame that all we know about these ladies is their names, Euodia and Syntyche. They'd had an argument, and Paul encouraged other leaders from the church to help them find a resolution, because it's not a good witness when Christians fall out. We'll think a little bit more about it in a minute. But I want to read the other things in this little passage that Paul wrote to the Philippians to encourage them to think positively about the future. Firstly, two qualities we should have as Christians, and they're joy and gentleness. And then secondly, not to worry, but to pray about it instead. And then thirdly, thinking good thoughts. So let's look at each of those in turn. Having joy and showing gentleness. Now, Paul, when he wrote this letter to the Philippians, was locked up in prison. He had guards looking after him. He was facing almost certain death, yet he writes and says, rejoice in the Lord. And thinking, well, that's enough. Again, I say, rejoice in spite of all the difficulties that he was facing and knowing what that Philippian church was facing. He says, rejoice. It reminded me a little bit of our trip to Tanzania a couple of years ago now, and of worshipping with Christians there who were living in sort of pretty well absolute poverty. We know that they suffered famine last year, and we collected specially for them. So little materially, but hearts filled with joy, truly grateful for all they had, really worshipping, full of joy. Joy independent of earthly things and belongings. They shared all they had with us. We had the best bits of food and they had what was left over, literally. Joy in abundance in spite of not having much. The other quality that Paul mentions is that of gentleness. It's a word that's difficult to translate from a Greek. I wouldn't have a chance of saying what it is in Greek, but it's been written in different ways. It could mean forbearance, patience, softness, moderation. We've got gentleness in our Bible. And it's about the ability to act in a way beyond seeking justice. And that was particularly important for those two ladies, I suggest, that, you know, one would have thought, I'm in the right, and the other one, no, you're not, you're in the wrong. And so it was resolving that and coming to the way of having a way of meeting part way, not seeking the exact price for what was right or wrong. The only bit of Shakespeare I can remember from school is the bit from Merchant of Venice and Shylock, Portia's speech, the quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven. And like Jesus' teaching, the woman who was caught in adultery, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And all those that were baying to try and have that woman stoned walked away. Knowing how to apply justice in just the right way. How can we have these qualities as Christians here in Tunbridge? And the way in which we can have them is because, as the passage says, the next sentence, because the Lord is near. Two qualities, then secondly, the encouragement, don't worry, pray instead. Don't worry. It always makes me think of that bit from Monty Python, you know, always look on the bright side of life. How could the Philippians not worry? Being a Christian then would have literally meant taking your life in your hands. But whose faith is stronger in the world then and now? And I'd say that it's probably those who are suffering persecution because they've got no one else to turn to other than God. So Paul's solution to not worrying was to pray about everything. With thanksgiving, we're to present our request to God. Hudson Taylor, when we got married, forgotten his name now, isn't that awful? Who gave us the biography of Hudson Taylor? It was Michael Vasey. An unusual wedding present, possibly, but absolutely full of living by faith. You know, when he was looking after an orphanage, lots of kids, nothing to put on the table the following day, prayed about it, and lo and behold, money was put through his door, and he had money for food. Example after example after example. And in a way, I don't want to be challenged as much as Hudson Taylor was, but what a way to live. So we can pray about ourselves, because nothing is beyond God's care and his concern. I just wonder if we believe it. We had an experience with Ben. He came to Holiday Club 2 weeks ago. They've been staying with us ever since, in a way. Hannah and Chris were away, and we promised that they could camp in the garden overnight. This was on Thursday, and we were working on the roof up there on the gutter, and it was pouring late in the afternoon. I don't remember if you remember that. And so I was worried here, and indeed a little bit of water got in, but not a lot of water, thankfully. But Ben said, can't we pray about it? Shouldn't we pray about it? And to Wendy, and we did pray, and lo and behold, the weather did change, and they were able to camp in the garden, and we camped with them. Well, that's quite difficult to do in a little tent. But it worked. Pray for forgiveness. Don't dwell on things. We've been forgiven. We've heard the words of forgiveness tonight. Let it go. That's what God wants us to do. Take it to him. Leave it with him. Let it go. And for our sort of world situation at the moment, as a church, we think of France last week and what happened. We've not had the challenges that many people have daily in their churches to be Christians. But I think it's not far off. And I think that we need to trust for the future. We need to take it in prayer. We can't do anything else. That's where our strength lies. But for other people, we don't often know how to help. I mean, if there are obvious things to do, we ought to help, giving lifts and just generally looking on and looking after people. But people who are suffering from sort of illness, but we can take it to God. He knows. He can bring that love and care to those people. Many of us know Canon Taylor from a past. I just know the encouragement he gave us as Pathfinder leaders when we were younger, and just his great list of people that he prayed for regularly and sending cards to them every Christmas. Mammoth task, over 200 people, and I believe he prayed for those regularly. Paul felt that every prayer should include thanksgiving, because we're placing our concerns in God's hands. And we know that it has worked in the past. That's that you've got a history of things, that when you prayed and you know that you've had prayers answered, we can know his love, we can know his strength, even in difficult situations. We can leave it with him and know his peace. And that peace is something that transcends all our understanding, it says in the passage. It's beyond our ability to get it for ourselves. We can't generate it for ourselves. It's God's gift. And it goes on to say, it will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. What a tremendous promise. So the qualities of joy and gentleness, the encouragement not to worry, but to pray instead. And then finally, Paul wants the Philippians and us to have positive thoughts. And those are things like being true, noble, right, pure, whatever is lovely and admirable. Fill our minds with things that are beautiful rather than things that are ugly. It's sad, isn't it, that most of the things we get to read and watch and listen to are the more sensational and unsavoury achievements of mankind, rather than the things that can uplift us and inspire us. And we can't cut ourselves off from the world. We get up-to-date news, don't we? We can hear about things 2 minutes or so after they've happened. They get reported on 24-hour news. I get things buzzed through to my phone. But hopefully we can look beyond them and to the things that are more uplifting. You can walk out this building and within 5 minutes you can be in the countryside and look around, see the beauty of the things that are around us. And we need to do something like that, to be a balance to the awful things that can dominate our lives, to try and equal it out and just have a more positive side and look. And Paul says, if we can do this, the peace of God will be with us. Let's pray. As we pray, Lord, we ask that we may take the joy and hope of being loved and forgiven and made whole into the world in the name of Christ Jesus, who loved life, loved you, and loved all mankind, and proved his love by dying for us. Help us to be more like Jesus, so that your name may be honoured for his sake. Amen.